I didn't oversell you there, did I, Jeremy, at all?
Maybe a little.
Oh. You've performed outside the United States, haven't you?
That is true.
International music sensation.
You sold records Jeremy in Messers Canada.
Yeah, I've sold a record in Canada.
Oh, sweet.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're recording live at the Bryant Lake Bowl with Barb Abney. It's our 200th episode. We're going to talk about music.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Tim Wick.
I am Tim Wick.
That's right. And today, this episode, it's our 200th episode.
Oh my God.
Dun, dun, dun.
And as you might have heard by the tepid applause, we are recording live at the Bryant Lake Bowl.
I got to give you a mad props. You nailed that intro in one.
I've been doing it enough that like I just it's you like just, the rhythm of my
I've been doing
soul.
It as long as you have, and I my intros and outros are like three or four takes deep.
Nick has never nailed it in one.
I have. But yeah.
And not only are we recording live at the Bryant Lake Bowl, we are here with two very special guests. First of all, the star of this particular episode, Barb Abney from
Barb
Go 96.
Abney.
Hi. Excellent. Barb, hello, Barb. And also able to chime in and on stage with us for this episode is Jeremy Messersmith.
Yay.
Yes, yes. So say hello, Jeremy.
Hello.
So when you hear that, that's Jeremy, people listening to the audio
It's
podcast.
Hard to keep it.
The one that you don't have to drink when we talk about him. That's
yes,
the,
yes.
Yeah, the important Jeremy.
So when we say Jeremy, you don't drink. You only drink when we say Jeremy Stomberg.
Oh, God damn it.
God damn it.
I didn't say
All right. Mm. So, hello, Barb.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Excellent. So we are very excited because, Barb, you wanted to talk about something very near and dear to your heart. And can you tell us what that is?
Music.
Music.
Yay!
But specifically, like, the mixtape of
right,
our lives,
the mixtape
right?
of your life. Like, the songs that are, like, your being. Like, the songs that made you who you are. And, you know, it's like the apple that you ate when you were in sixth grade that's always going to be part of you. But
sure, sure.
Your true name.
How did you know about
tracks?
That apple?
I did. I assumed.
All the gum I swallowed that gave me appendicitis in sixth grade.
That's not a thing.
That's not a thing.
Well, that's the pop rocks.
Explains why I haven't had appendicitis then.
Oh.
All right. So I was thinking, I don't know how you want to do this. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into the mixtape?
Sure.
I mean, you are not originally from Minneapolis.
No, I'm from Cincinnati. All I ever wanted to do was, like when I... I'll try that again. When I was growing up, I lived in a really rural area of Ohio, and Cincinnati was like the big city. And when I started getting into music and I discovered radio, I'm like, well, that's obviously the only job that anybody should ever want to fucking do, right?
Yeah.
It's like you're playing music and you're talking about music, and they're the coolest people in the world because, oh my God, they were hanging backstage with Van Halen.
Right.
Yeah. Right? And that's all I ever wanted to do with my life. And so, I mean... I didn't go to your traditional college. I instead got married, had a child, and then was listening.
So radio.
Yeah.
That's right. What most people who want to hang
married.
With Van Halen do.
I was a teenage bride. I got married, didn't have the child, though, just for the record. And I was listening to the radio one day, and they had a commercial that was like, be a DJ or just sound like one. And I'm like, yes, sold. So I went to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, which sounded really like...
It sounds very show.
Right, like, right, it sounds like it's a big
it
deal.
It does, except it's Connecticut. I mean, there can't be more than
but
one
it
there.
It wasn't Connecticut. It was on Red Bank Road in Cincinnati, Ohio.
What?
That's why it sounds fancy.
Yeah. It's the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Mm-hmm. It's now been renamed as the Ohio Center for Broadcasting.
Well, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Prepositions make it sound
really
fancier.
Really, it's different. But it was like an eight-month program. I am a shining example of their student body. Anytime I'm back in Ohio, they're like, please come talk.
prove that we are successful sometimes.
It's me and Solomon Wilcox, who, by the way, was a Bengal. And then it was like, he was no longer a Bengal. And it's like, well, what saleable talent do you have? I don't know. Oh, go to broadcasting school.
Can you talk?
He's been on ESPN and all that. Now, so.
Have you heard the whole like astronauts in Ohio thing? There are more astronauts from Ohio than any other state. And what is it about your state that makes people want to flee not only the state, but the planet itself? Like,
it's that museum in Kentucky.
we'll talk about that museum later.
Yeah, we should. And then I eventually got into radio. And when that radio station was going off the air, there was another radio station that I now lovingly refer to as the other C word. Hired me. They fired me, thus the nickname. And then I was picked up by another radio station pretty quickly. And here I am.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Of course you were.
Yeah.
No. I don't think anyone's surprised.
No, legitimately, though, I have to tell you. So before I was doing any theater stuff at all, and Nick worked a job that was noon to nine. So
I still have all your emails.
I emailed you a lot. Yeah. It's very exciting. Ever since I was a kid, I was like crushes on DJs, especially like super thought they were the coolest too. And so like I would call into like Cool 108 and do voices and stuff to the morning show. And like, legitimately.
You gotta see the look. If you saw the look on Barb's face, you're like, oh God, you're one of those.
So it was so exciting to have that email back from you and to talk to you on the phone that time I got my three songs on. And then I got to meet you at Convergence and I just about died. So
I know. She's a total nerd.
Look how cool I'm being.
I had the exact opposite experience where I met you at Convergence and I'm like, oh, she's a DJ. I should probably listen to her.
That's okay. I understand.
I was somewhere in the middle of that, too. The force of equality and like balance. That's me. That's
So Barb, do you want to go first or last?
Well, we got to explain what we're doing when we go first.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Because I was just like, let's talk about the soundtrack of our lives.
So I know Nick and I, and I'm assuming Tim has also made.
I've got a list right here.
We've made a mixtape in a way. Written a mixtape list.
Can I tell you where this list comes from?
Please. Yeah.
Because I had this idea once when I was going to Duluth for the very first time with this guy over here.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
you can
Dude.
Say hi, Jeremy. Just say hi, son.
Hi.
There you go.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. I'm going to give you a mixtape of all my favorite, like, the songs that made me who I am. You should give me yours. And I think that, like,
Were you carpooling?
No, I thought we were going to. That's the whole thing. We had the van. I'm like, cool, we're all going to... I show up at work. They're like, he's not riding up with us.
Took a private jet. Sorry about that.
And I'm like, oh, bummer. Okay, so... But I did give you that mix.
You did.
And he has sent me some of his songs. And so I do know some of his songs.
Oh,
wow. Yes. All right.
So I'm pulling him in.
It was a really rockin' mix, as I recall.
Thank you.
Thank you. Pretty rock. I mean,
I guarantee, that my mix is not.
If there was anyone that I would expect, not to put the pressure on, but if there were anyone that I was going to have really high expectations for a good mixtape for, it would be you know, someone with your profession. Like,
one would hope,
that would be like... Who would do the possibly, what's the best, most professional? Oh, it's radio.
Oh, it's really, I think you're getting your hopes up too.
Oh.
But I'd really like to hear what you guys
did. It's different when you like hot dogs made.
There are a considerable number of DJs who work in country music, so just keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do we want Tim? Do you want
Tim? You first.
Yeah,
you first.
I think.
Are we doing like one at a time, or are we doing?
No. I think you should tell us. Take us through your mixtape.
Okay.
I'm down.
And tell us. You know.
I will tell you.
How many tracks?
I don't have an order. I just wrote them down as I thought about them, and then I would erase them, and then add others. But okay, so the first one, Rocky Mountain High by John Denver. Shut up.
Off to a roaring start.
This is supposed to be a mixtape of our lives. And the first concert I remember going to as a kid was a John Denver concert.
That's cool.
With my parents.
That's great.
I remember Rocky Mountain High, which has a connection to the fact that I really love national parks and I love mountains in general. And being raised in Minnesota,
also the only kind of high you get.
It is just high in the air. But I have this one memory from that concert. I don't remember any of the music.
Weird.
What I remember is that John Denver had just, him and his wife had a baby like a year prior. And before the concert, we were sitting like next to the VOM where he entered from, and him and his wife were like down there playing with his baby before he actually came onto the stage. And I thought that was pretty cool. It made him kind of human. So that's why that song's on my on my list.
So, all right.
And so the next one is Blasphemous Rumors by Depeche Mode. Ah.
God, I love that album.
Which it's a great album. It was you know, the sweet spot of super depressed teenager high school angst time, and it was the first thing that really made me think about kind of how ridiculous Christianity was. Because the song is a wonderful story about a girl who doesn't believe in God and is miserable, and then believes in God and she's not miserable anymore, and then she gets killed by a car. And it's because, depressing because as fuck.
Spoiler alert.
Fan of irony.
and
it's like
she leaves.
Karenina.
She leaves a suicide note, and it's, "I don't want to start any blasphemous rumors, but I think that God has a sick sense of humor.
And when I die, I expect to find him laughing."
So yes, that's, and they have a very British accent. So next up, Bohemian Rhapsody. It's not my favorite Queen song, but when I went to college and I joined the theater department in college, which was kind of the first time I ever felt part of a thing, one of the things that happened is like...
What was his name?
That's a different song. Anyway...
I have theater stories like that too.
One of the things that the first time you go to a cast party, apparently they explained to me that every cast party... Everybody in the theater department has to sing along with Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah. And it was a thing. Everybody got really tanked. And then they sang... I pretended to get tanked. That's what I did in college.
I'm sure they
couldn't
tell
at all. I was too
embarrassed
to tell people I didn't drink, so I would pretend I drank.
Okay.
But anyway, so everybody got really tanked, and they sang Bohemian Rhapsody really badly. And it was the first time I'd ever heard that song.
Oh, wow.
Was when we were drunkenly singing. Well, everybody else was drunkenly singing it.
Yeah. No, you were.
College.
I mean, you were pretending.
I was pretending.
You were an actor.
Yeah. Acting. Okay, so next up, Losing My Religion. That's from the college years as well. R.E.M. was really my favorite band in college. Losing My Religion is my favorite song by R.E.M., and the title is Losing My Religion, which I feel kind of fits.
Why?
Out of curiosity, why is it your favorite R.E.M. song? Because I love R.E.M. as well, but it's a good one.
I can't stop listening to it. Awesome. I could listen to it on repeat for about five hours, and I would never get sick of it. There's an acoustic version of it with just like a mandolin, it just kills me.
Are we thumbs up so far, Barb? Are we approving of all
these
choices?
Absolutely. Okay. I'm not going to disapprove of a song. I mean, if you say, you know, like Third Eye Blind or something, I might...
Just wait till
if
we
you
get
tell
to
me
mine.
Creed is your favorite band. Then we're
you have nothing
problem.
To be ashamed of here. Nothing.
I've got a couple of those. So
quick, Molly, scratch all that 311 off your list.
Next up is Ramblin' Rover, which is a traditional song that is the first song I ever learned when I went out to work at the Renaissance Festival. I got taught it while we were at Academy, and actually, I became a singer kind of because of that song.
Really?
Wait, hang on. Is there a Renfest Academy?
Hang on. Well, not anymore.
Okay. No, there is still. It's different.
It's for the street performers and the entertainers. Not so much the musicians, but all the actors out there have to go through a 6 or 7 week training to be out there.
You got to learn how to talk to people.
Where is this?
Wow.
They usually hold it at different theaters. Or sometimes
like
song ground.
Local?
It's local. So
it's just for the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
So what they would do is they would teach you a few songs, so you kind of knew a little bit about the music that was out there. Terry Foy, who's Zilch the Tory Stellar out there, he taught Ramblin' Rover to everybody. And I learned it, and over the years, I've basically become the only person out there that knows it anymore. And... I wasn't originally a musician, but I went down to work at the Arizona Renaissance Festival one year, and I was the only, I had learned how to play the boron, and I was literally the only person down in Arizona who could play the boron. So every one of the musicians, every time they saw me, they were like, "Tim, come and play with us." So me and a guy named Jeff Cahill got shoved together as a musical group to go out and do promos. And Jeff had been around on festival circuit longer than I had. So we're out on this promo, and I'm like, "Oh, you know this song." And I start singing Ramblin' Rover. And he's sort of singing along in the sense that he sings like the last word of every verse as he figures out where it's going.
Like a Beastie Boys song.
Like you singing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, like me, yeah. And so then I finally turned to him in front of an audience. I'm like, you don't know a single word of this song, do you? And he's like, not a lick. And from there, a music act was born.
Oh.
So that song kind of crystallized
That's
that.
Awesome.
So
yeah.
Next, also from College Years, When the Going Gets Tough, the Tough Get Going by Billy Ocean. And this is because me and my best friend from college, Terry, used to hang out in the lobby of our dorm where the only thing anybody had on in our lobby at that time was MTV. It was always MTV. And at this point, that song was playing all the time. And in the background of that song, you got Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner and Danny DeVito who are playing backup singers, and they've got this dance that they're
Jewel
doing.
Of the Nile?
Yeah, it was for Jewel of the Nile.
Yeah.
And they've got this dance that they're doing the whole thing. Oh, and so Terry and I and our other friend George would play those three characters at 2 a.m. and do that dance over and over again. I still probably could do it.
Were you Katharine Hepburn?
No.
He was Danny DeVito.
I was Kathleen Turner.
Oh, that's right.
Would have been funnier if you were Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah. It would have been.
I think I'd respect you more as an artist.
It would have been. Next up is Mozart's Requiem. Was the music. I mean, Amadeus as a movie got me into classical music in a way that nothing else had ever gotten me into classical music. And on a path to being a singer, when I discovered and I learned in college that the choir was really short male voices, and I learned that they were going to do Mozart's Requiem, and I was like, oh, well, fuck, then I will try out for choir.
Oh, so you're pretty tall.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Yeah. So anyway, and so that's Mozart's Requiem. Then we have Applause by Lady Gaga. I love Lady Gaga. I'm not going to apologize for that. I think she writes amazing hooks. And I think one thing that me and my band do that she does is you have to understand how to sell a song as a performance and connect with your audience. And I love that. And I love Applause because I think it's about the most honest song I've ever heard from an artist. Because it says, I live for the applause. Well, sure, don't we all? That's what we're there for. And so I love the message.
That was your cue.
Subtle.
What a Wonderful World by Sam Cooke, which is one of my wife's favorite songs. It is her ringtone on my phone. And it's what we danced to at our wedding.
Now I feel bad I made that face. I really hate that song.
Are you sure it's the one you're thinking of?
I don't know
much about history.
That one's all right.
All right, it's not.
I thought it was that one's okay. I thought
that
it was
old classic.
The, I thought it was the really awful one.
You thought it was the other one, didn't you?
I thought it was all the really awful one.
And then the final one is Wagon Wheel. And that's shut up. And that's that's because my band, The Dregs, we learned that song before anybody else knew that song.
Really, anybody else?
Well, except Old Crow Medicine Show, basically.
And
knew it before Hootie.
We knew it before Hootie. Yep. We fucking knew it before Hootie. And it was the song that kind of has defined us as a band since then. As it really was when we gelled in terms of musically coming together, in terms of our harmonies, in terms of our instrumentation. So it has an important impact on my life because of that. That's my list, and that's all our time.
That's a good list.
I like that list.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one.
What do you think, Barb?
I think it's perfect.
Yeah?
It explains you a little more.
Huh.
I was it's a little deeper because Tim and I really haven't sat down and hung out and talked.
Yeah.
Every time we're at Convergence, it's like kind of like this.
Hey, Barb.
You know?
Hey, good to see you. Oh, I got to go.
Yeah. It's kind of
like
that.
He's a busy guy at Convergence.
So, yeah. We haven't really, bonded. And so I bond with people with music, and I think I get to know them a little bit better that way.
Well, then let's perform some musical phrenology on Nick, then.
Oh, boy.
Let's hear your list.
Well, so if I was being super honest, and for the sake of creating a list, boring, it would be like half Weird Al songs and then half like punk and rap and like straight edge punk and like local hip hop. Really, it would
Nick
be.
Nick likes some pretty bad songs.
I'm not embarrassed by anything I enjoy musically. No, not even that. So
not even embarrassed by Nick.
The first tape I ever bought was even worse, Weird Al.
Yeah.
Which has Fat, the parody of Bad. Yeah, nice. And that would be the first song on there, not only because I'm a big overweight dude and have always been heavy, but also because it's the first song off my first tape. Mm-hmm. And like that.
Song one, track one.
It's got a thing. It's a thing.
Yep, song one, track one, totally. And I had I sent Weird Al a letter when I was a kid, and he sent back a signed picture of him wearing the Bad jacket, like posing and all that.
That's awesome.
And it got wrecked in a fire, but like it stuck with me. My second concert ever was Lilith Fair '97.
I was there, man. I was there.
And it would have been 15 or 16. And my mom listened to a lot of Indigo Girls. She listened to a lot of, I know you wouldn't expect it, but my second track would be Tracy Chapman, Fast Car.
Oh.
Because it's a really great song. She's a beautiful voice. I've had that song stuck in my head, I feel like, since I was like 13 years old. And it's because of my mom, for sure. It's straight out of her musical taste. And then I think, like, so as I started to gain some angst and like get to become a teenager, Kurt Cobain, when he did
Nirvana Storytellers.
The Nirvana Storytellers. Unplugged, no, it was the Unplugged. He did The Man Who Sold the World. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I had heard that song. I wasn't familiar. I didn't know it was a cover. And that song, and someone saying, hey, actually, that's David Bowie, is how I got into David Bowie. And
oh,
so,
nice.
Like, that's totally a twofer for me. And like, it's so sad. If hearing the song is sad, seeing him play that song acoustic is 10 times more sad. So after that, my favorite band, and I've never seen them, and it's like a joke, because it's always like, oh, it's my birthday, I have plans, Cake is going to be here. And so I've never seen Cake, I've never gotten to see Cake, but they're probably my favorite band. And to go with the teenage angst, I'm going to say friend is a four-letter word. Because it's I like the upbeat Cake songs, but I like the melancholy Cake songs too. And you know, to me, coming from you, it's just, it's so quiet and understated and sad, and I like it. After that, to go like more into the like dyed hair, mohawk, teenage youth, we're going to go to like Tool and Anima. And that's the Bill Hicks quoting song of theirs, Learn to Swim, like the like kind of pulsing beat that drives and goes. That is like, hey, Nick, someday you're going to like techno. Like, that's the like that's the song that was the hint that made sense later. Yeah. Yeah, and I should have also known that it was like, tap, 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 also drugs. Like,
what?
But not yet. But yeah, that's a good, like, angsty young white boy song or album even.
Song.
Yeah, the song is Anima, but it's, yeah, Learn to Swim is sometimes.
I know.
After that, so the guys I hung out with in high school that, like Jordan, a friend of ours, and some other guys, there was this one magical summer where the oldest of our friends had his own apartment on 38th and Lindale, and upstairs above a house there. And we just hung out at his apartment and smoked weed, like, a lot, all the time. And there was one computer, and we'd play Hot Seat Games of Master of Orion 2 all fucking summer long. And what did we listen to that entire summer? Ben Folds 5, which is not on my list. And also West Side Connection, and Bow Down is on my list. Because
what a weird mix of music.
It really is. But
the
West Side Connection, Mac 10, Ice Cube, it was one of the early like gangster rap supergroups. And I don't know how that connected to like four white boys and their black friend, like, who couldn't have been more token at the time for especially this circumstance, but that was like our jam for that summer, and I know every word to that song and have sung half of it on stage against this gentleman in a rap battle. Yeah, and
Leather Records Show, he just Matt pointed Alex. At Matt Allen.
Did yeah. you just say a rap-off?
Battle. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was. We did a rap-off the one time.
It was a competition to see who was the whitest, actually. And I won because I stole music from a black person. Okay. He sang something original, so I won. Yeah.
Okay.
Sang.
Vilification tennis.
So the next song on my list totally... the next two songs, actually, I would say have like ties to drugs, it, like biographically.
Unlike the rest of music.
Shut up. But the next song is The Beatles, While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
I love that song so hard.
There was one a good friend of mine in high school, a long-haired, like, giant ginger guy who played the guitar and listened to a lot of acid rock, and like we were burnout friends, and... I didn't listen to any of the music he listened to, and he didn't listen to any of the music I listened to. And there was this great, like, exchange, where one-way exchange, really, where I was like, you should listen to all this. And he was like, no. And then he was like, but you should listen to all this. And I did. And one of the things that came out of that was the Beatles The White Album, which the first time I listened to... I was the second time I'd done ecstasy, and I had taken two pills, and I just drove around the city's lakes in my car for 4 hours listening to the White Album, and it was awesome.
Yeah,
that's how it was meant to be listened to.
Most things are awesome. Well, when you take two pills of ecstasy.
But it, regardless of why or how, it left a mark on my psyche, and that song is one of the things that came out of there. One of the songs I was listening to that day, and I feel a lot of pride as, like, I grew up in Whittier. In South Minneapolis, and Free or Dead, Atmosphere, Slug. I feel like being a teenager in South Minneapolis, man, is there anything better than like Atmosphere for that person for growing up there in that time in like the 90s? It was perfect. And Free or Dead is a great song. It's catchy. It's, you know, the earlier, less serious kind of atmosphere. I don't know. So after that, change around college, started hanging out with different people, started going to raves, starting to had a few DJ friends. And I love a lot of drum and bass, but like even more specific than that, I really loved, jungleism, like really faster beats, maybe get like someone like a Jamaican style, like Toaster MC over that. And so, General Levy, incredible. Like, you would recognize the song if you heard it, if only for the guy going, oh, incredible. And then, like, the fast beat starting up again. But, like, it was heavily sampled in the Ali G show and the movie and stuff like that. It's like the jungle fucking anthem song. And that's on there for that. When I turned 21, I started hanging out with a different group of people. Started going to a dive bar and seeing a band, the Tim Malloy's, in St. Paul, and hang out with my punk friends who I was friends with when I was younger, around 13 or 14, but they never really stuck. And so now the song Institutionalized by Minor Threat is the original song, but the cover by Black Velvet Flag, which is the punk cover band Lounge Band. They do lounge covers of punk songs.
Awesome.
and they do a cover of Institutionalized, which is really laid back and really mellow, and like that's the least laid back and mellow song.
Now, is this not the suicidal tendencies?
Yeah,
song?
No, it that's is. What I meant. Not Minor Threat. Suicidal tendencies. Right.
I'm like, no, you're did right. Minor you're right. Threat, or
right? You're right. No. Like, you're totally right. Okay, you're totally right. That. Suicidal tendencies.
Nick, you
excuse
spoke
me.
With such confidence.
One music
no.
point scored to Barbat.
No. I
sorry, it wasn't trained.
No. I appreciate no, being corrected. Accuracy is good. But yeah, I like the original. I like the lounge
this
cover.
This one's like, I try. Like,
it's but
like,
she still so wouldn't like, bring me a Pepsi. Like, it's real, yeah.
I'm not crazy.
You're the one
it's
that's
very Richard
crazy.
It is like Richard Cheese.
It precedes... Richard
predates,
Cheese, yeah. or predates Richard Cheese, but it's the same.
Pre-cheeses.
I love having cheese before
everyone
everything.
Got a little excited and pre-cheesed.
Yeah.
So then after that is something that is still punk and not at all sanitary is Misfits, Bullet, which is like a gross song, like a horrible song Like, it's a pretty offensive song, and it's catchy as shit. Like, I love that Misfits song. That's my favorite Misfits song. And it's all about the assassination of JFK and, like, fucking his wife after he's dead. Like, really graphically. It's a great song.
As opposed to politely fucking John F. Kennedy's
well,
widow.
Right. Yeah. Right. You wait for a while first. I mean, that's the first step of politeness. So after that, I had a weird roommate that was in a band called the Not Wells. And he, K-N-O-T-T, Wells, yeah. He got turned me into a lot of weird music and starts, oh, you got to come out and see my band. We're going to open for this, some, you know, other band I've never heard of and blah, blah, blah. You should, they're great. You'd love them. Just trust me, come out. And I ended up seeing Slim Cessna's Auto Club.
The rockabilly, right?
Yeah, I guess maybe. I don't know how you define them. It's like oddly religious kind of, but I don't know if that's in jest or genuine
like
country, like Western. Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
But the song is Goddamn Blue Yodel Number 7. And there is yodeling in the song, and I love it. It's great. It's a good song. And then the last song, which is I'm going to say is like brings me up to present, is Lizzo and Caroline Smith, Let 'Em Say.
Nice.
It's super so catchy. Good. It's local hip hop again to like come back to it. I love Lizzo ever since I saw the chalice
at the Beer Dabbler.
At the Beer Dabbler some years back. And I had heard music from Caroline Smith and Molly was like, oh, that's, you know these songs. I'm like, I do. I didn't know who that person was. And I feel like there's something, I'm at the point in my life where I'm like, kind of done listening to haters, and that's like the core of that song is kind of like fuck them,
fuck the haters,
do good, and so that's my biographical track list.
I'm just pleased that you had While My Guitar Gently Weeps, because I had to cut that off of my list, and so I'm glad it made it onto somebody's.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Do you feel like you've learned?
Yeah. I mean, I really didn't know what you were like. I didn't know that you used to, or maybe you still do, drugs. And
What?
Maybe weed, not for this podcast.
Hang on. Let me ask a question to answer a question. Is weed really drugs?
No, okay.
Then we don't do drugs.
We don't do drugs. Young Nick did drugs. Yeah,
I gotcha. It's a nice snapshot.
Yeah, it's a developmental. It got me to where I am now, so it couldn't be that bad.
Do you want me to go, or do you want to jump over to Jeremy?
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm just looking at it. I'm looking
Jeremy's
at the time.
Like,
are you ready?
You know what I said about us doing podcast?
While
podcasts?
I was up
what?
Here.
Like,
no. Yeah.
He's prepared.
Yeah, I'll throw right. a few records. I'll be quick because I really didn't put that much time into it. But I'm gonna put down the very first tape that I ever bought was. My mom gave me, I think it was like $5 or $8, and we went to the Bible bookstore in my hometown, and I picked out my very first cassette, which was Rap Battle in Big City by something called Mega Mouth.
What?
And it was just a boom box with like sneakers and like hands. And the whole thing is this, like, it's a concept record in which, like, it's a DJ named Mega Mouth.
Oh my God.
Sounds like that, literally. And
excellent.
He battles this evil rock and roll DJ named Killicycle, who's like a motorcycle or something too.
Oh.
But it's like, and so they kind of rap. It's not really rap. They're just kind of talking, and there's music, and then there's like kids choirs in it too.
Was it Christian rap or was
So it was Christian.
Wow.
Yeah, and I looked it up later, and it's like it was like some Nashville singer songwriter's like. Side project thing, like I'm done.
Oh,
I should
wow.
make a kid's record, and
that's my favorite.
See what happens.
Boy.
Just desperation.
It sounds like it sounds more like a horror movie than
Mega Mouth.
Yeah, yeah. It could be that. Yeah. No one has ever heard this record. Maybe I bought the only copy of it. It's that's possible.
And the rest of you would like to thank you for that.
Yeah,
truly.
Yeah, I think so. So that was the first one I ever bought. The first record I ever bought was a. Gaither Vocal Trio Christmas album.
Moving on?
I got nothing.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. Were they like standards or were they?
Yeah, they were just singing like, you know, Oh Holy Night and stuff, but, you know, in like Southern three-part harmony kind of thing,
like
you know.
The Andrew Sisters kind of stuff.
Yeah, but like more baritone-y and, and slightly country western. That's how I described the Gaither vocal trio. Okay.
I get it.
Like, you would see them on like TBN and stuff today or whatever, TBS? I forget what the, what's the Trinity Broadcasting Network. You even see them on there.
TBN.
I watch that all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't miss it. The Star Wars soundtrack?
Yeah.
My entry into classical music at all, and I played trumpet, too, when I was a kid, so I was just like, this is awesome. I'm like, this is fantastic. I love playing this. Let's see. I'm going deep into the CCM here, but this is kind of my background. Jars of Clay, their self-titled record. Yeah, Flood. That was at the time I was kind of just learning guitar, and I was like, they just tune two strings differently, and then you just play the same shape all over the guitar, and you can play every single song on the record. This is like awesome. You just slide your hand up in it.
Let Jesus guide your hand.
Yeah, it sounds like Christian rock. It just does. I don't. It's the drone or something. So that was a big one. Let's see. I also have, I don't know how sequential these will be, The Man Who by Travis, I really like. Mainly because Fran Healy just has like this, he has a voice when I was just starting to kind of sing, and I was like, that's somebody who kind of sounds like me, like a little bit. He's like a high-pitched kind of, I don't know, but he's in a rock band, kind of, I don't know. I also have Hunky Dory, David Sweet. Bowie. I just love it. That was kind of my intro to.
I'm really depressed. I don't have a Bowie on my list. I'm really. Mm.
I went Bowie adjacent.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry to everybody. Okay.
He doesn't care.
Oh, I have OK Computer, Radiohead.
Oh
was,
yeah,
was,
sure.
Was the I was in I spent like my first year in college just playing EverQuest mostly, and but and my roommate was just like, hey, this CD is great, you should listen to it, and I was like, I don't really know, but then at some point I was on some raid somewhere and I just put it on, and I remember thinking, this is really weird and kind of unsettling sounding. And then it got to No Surprises, and I was just like, that is maybe still my favorite Radiohead song of all time. It's just lovely and beautiful. I think that's close to what I have. Oh, I have either or, Elliot Smith, I think my last one is 69 Love Songs by the Magnetic Fields. I love any songs that can be kind of playful and defy expectations. And like if once you're writing songs, it gets really boring when you can kind of predict where the song's going to go. But with Stephen Merritt, it's always like they could all be like zombie vampire people by the end of it. Like I don't know what's going to happen. So that's kind of my list of
awesome.
Of I like that.
Records.
Yeah. All over.
Can I just say I'm surprised that there's no semisonic in there.
Oh yeah. Well, Semisonic was actually kind of later. So that would have been like pre Hunky Dory for me, but after Jars of Clay. Yeah.
Okay. The sequentialness.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Good that we've got that worked out. Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna go. All right.
Yeah, so, you go. Oh my God! Look at that list.
It's not that long. Shush. Okay. So the first two tapes I ever bought were Grateful Dead Skeletons from the Closet and then Octoon Baby. So I have Sugar Magnolia by Grateful Dead. That's my favorite. I don't like a lot of Grateful Dead, but I really like Sugar Magnolia. I think it's a really good song.
It actually came on the radio as we were parking our car to come in.
It did. It was very serendipitous. I've always liked that one. As hippie as it is, I think it's a sweet song.
So you weren't listening to my radio station as you were driving in?
No, I don't know what we were listening to.
What you weren't on, Barb?
Some pirate radio station broadcasting from somebody's van.
I've got 3 months of Sirius.
Oh my God,
so.
It's the best thing ever!
All right. They play the same goddamn.
There's a Coachella station right now.
She just got a new car. We haven't programmed all the crap yet, so.
So then, second song, Zoo Station by U2, which is one of those side one track.
I didn't have a U2 song, son of a bitch.
First time I heard Zoo Station, I feel like my vagina came alive. Like that is the best way I can describe it. I was. I was like 14, and I'd only ever listened to Huey Lewis and Madonna and Blondie, which like my mom listened to. And this was like my first thing, and I put it in, and it started up, and I was like, oh. Just, like something just went ding.
That was Fat and Weird Al Yankovic.
I just have a really interesting picture of your sex life, and I wish I didn't.
Next, All This Time by Sting, Fields of Gold, which is a great album, but All This Time is one of my favorites because it's a song about death and atheism, actually. It's when Sting's father died, and
All This Time is
him.
Actually, it's on
Soul Cages. Oh, it's not on Fields of Gold, you're
it's
right.
It's off Soul Cages.
It is off Soul Cages.
Which was a CD about the death of his father, which came out about a year after my dad died, yeah. So oh my God. I couldn't put any of those songs on my list just because...
The song is so great because it's actually, I mean, he's talking about putting his father, you know, to rest and how he wishes he could give him a Viking funeral and just light him on fire and send him down the river. But and about these priests that come over and they're trying to say good things like the meek shall inherit the earth. And he's like, I can hear my father laughing at that because like what good is a used up world?
Wow. Like
and all that.
Oh, wow.
Next is Closer by Nine Inch Nails, which
Hallelujah.
Nine Inch Nails is my favorite band, and Closer is off Downward Spiral, which was the first one of their albums I listened to, and that was another song where parts of me were like, hello, good morning, I like this song is filthy and about horrible things, and I like it. Similarly, Tame by Pixies, which... The counterpoint of Kim Deal's like like that, and then and Francis Black just screaming over everything was just so good, and I liked that it was this super deconstructionist of like 50s kind of surf songs, and I got really into that. So now we're in college and end of high school. Anna Begins by Counting Crows, which is off August and Everything After, and is a song that I started. This was when I was realizing I was starting to have manic episodes and depressive episodes as I was starting to feel crazy. And that's one of those songs that I was like, this song is about a fucked up, dangerous, crazy girl relationship. And that's my brain. And it made sense to me. I don't know. I still really like it. I just really listened to that whole album. And it was like, you know those songs when you were in high school and you hear them again and you're just like, oh, it's not great, but it's just, it's hitting all my buttons. And then, so I started listening to Led Zeppelin when I was in college. How Many More Times is my, up there, my favorite Zeppelin songs. Led Zeppelin is my almost favorite band. That's my like next favorite band if I had to pick. And I love How Many More Times because they have the entire, there's a breakdown section where so I took ancient Greek in college and I learned how to write out, they call me the hunter, that's my name, they call me the hunter, that's how I got my fame in ancient Greek because all the verbs conjugate. And I wrote it on my wall in my apartment.
Oh my
goodness.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, it didn't get me all the pussy I was hoping for, but you know, it's all right. Much less than plant, I'll tell you that.
Well, I mean,
then I started taking ecstasy, and so the next song is Halcyon and On and On by Orbital, which is like this beautiful song that I think encompasses what it's like to take hard drugs, because it starts off very slow and sweet, and then all of a sudden the beat comes in like bum 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 bum. It's like, oh hey, I feel kind of good, feel like maybe dancing a little bit, and then all of a sudden it gets crazy, like yes, it's just like dancing.
I don't have an ecstasy song.
We'll fix that.
Yeah, Convergence 2016.
Hey, what am I even doing on this podcast? I don't understand.
My next three, I'll just I'm trying to go quickly here. I started having I got anorexia, and it was part of being bipolar, and all of it just started to blend together in a fun summer. So Getting Smaller by Nine Inch Nails, which is off With Teeth, which is his album that's mostly about dealing with the bottom of his heroin addiction. And so a lot of the songs are about that. But Getting Smaller is about like it's really about how getting more and more depressed and withdrawn, and your world gets smaller and smaller. So it's a twofer, because actually like I was withdrawing from everything, like just really, and it's also just a really angry song, which was good. And in that same vein is Time Is Running Out by Muse, which to this day is a song that like
It's weird, but I think of my eating disorder as another person, this bitch that is just awful to me. And so, like, the time is running out. Like, it's like singing it to her. Like, our time is running out. You're killing me. We're done. Like, I can't keep doing this relationship anymore. A band I really loved when I was living in Chicago that just unfortunately just disappeared is Stella Star.
Oh my
right?
God!
Yeah, they're so good. And
in
so,
the walls.
Yeah, their song "On My Own" was like they came out with it right as I was moving away from Chicago, leaving my boyfriend, rightfully so, and moving home, and ended up dating this guy. But "On My Own" was about like is all just like it's gonna be okay. Like we both have to leave each other. We're gonna you're gonna be fine. I'm gonna be fine. I just have to do this on my own. And it's a very big, powerful ballad. And so like you said with the guy from Travis, the guy from Celestia, his voice is very similar to mine. I have a tenor. And so like really good tenor power ballads. I'm just like I can just wail them out. So it was good. So then I started dating Nick, and he introduced me to a lot of good punk stuff, especially The Epoxies, which is this song, "We're So Small," which is a very romantic song about the end of the world. And like two people together, knowing the bombs have just been launched, and you have maybe 10 minutes. Mm. And the song is all about like, it doesn't matter anymore. We don't have to pay the rent. We don't need to be afraid. Just come here and hold me and kiss me and let's just spend time together.
We literally have nothing else to worry about because the ICBMs are like in the air.
It doesn't matter.
It's
just
great.
Hold me tight and let's just not worry. That was
super romantic.
That was our recessional song at our wedding.
Wow.
Walked down the aisle to Led Zeppelin and then the recessional was that song. Yeah.
If you like Devo, you'd like Epoxies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roxy Epoxy is very. She looks like Pris.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Blade Runner.
Oh. Oh, okay.
And like with the she does the black bar across her eyes and all that. So just three more, real quick, more recent songs. Unbelievers by Vampire Weekend.
Oh yeah.
Which is super the song that I think about with the three of us on this podcast.
I love that song.
Like it doesn't matter. Cute. We're gonna die, unbelievers. Like even if we're bound to the tracks of the train, like you can tie me up and like threaten my life, and I'm still gonna be like, I don't believe it. I'm sorry, I just can't do it. I used to travel a lot for work, and so the song "From a Window Seat" by Dawes is very much like I used to have to fly a lot, and that whole like looking at the people on the plane and thinking about where they're going and where they're coming from and how we're all in this, like, very Stephen King, like, if this plane went down, like, these are the people I would die with. This is it. Like, looking around and thinking that. And then to represent, like, more recent stuff I like and how I actually really like rap, even though it's not in hip-hop, it's not really represents on this list.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bruh by Little Dicky, who is a new rapper, and it is a great song, and I like when there's live beats. It's got a live drum beat. And
like Kyra Specs.
He is fast and sharp and smart, and the rhymes, when you actually read the lyrics, are just insanely clever a lot deeper than you think. So
yeah, some good like one-liner catchy shit in there. You like men's leg hair, don't cut it. Like it's fucking
it's
clever shit. Yeah, I like Lil Dicky.
So that's me. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you know, as soon as you said Stella Star, I remember a time at the other C Word where you had requested it.
Yes.
And I brought it in from home.
Yes.
And I played it and I hadn't checked. You know, sometimes iTunes can do weird things in your computer, and it had like imported like only the first 3 minutes of the song.
Yes,
and I'm sitting there going, looking at the countdown. I'm supposed to have like 3 minutes left on this song, and I'm like, oh shit, and it just stops. And like 30 seconds later, I get an email from her like, what the fuck just happened? It's like, Barb. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
I think you and I are the only people in the world who know
Stella Star.
Maybe like one or two other people.
You know, I thought this was supposed to be only 10 songs, so it's a good thing
mine
that I thought that, or we would, I'm just saying. It's a good thing I went with 10, or we will never get done with this episode.
Well, all right. I want to hear yours.
Barb has
I think I'm going to go 14
you
now.
You need to go. Your episode.
All right. Tommy James and the Shondells, I Think We're Alone Now. It was the song that was playing when I was conceived. My parents told me this story.
Wow.
I don't know why they told me this story.
Weird irony.
I was conceived in the backseat of a car at a place called Dead End Rubber Roads. Thank you.
Holy shit,
that,
you can't
and
make
that,
it up.
More than anything, is why you're a DJ.
Oh my God.
Right there.
Make that up. That's amazing.
It's not.
Nobody who is conceived that way could ever not be a DJ.
Yeah. That's like a line from Paradise by the Dashboard Light or something.
It might be. Oh shit, I didn't have meatloaf on here. Okay. So song two is Kisses, I Was Made for Loving You, because when I was in the second grade, my father went to, it might have been Camelot, and was like, well, it's the number one record or something, and he brought it home. Second grade.
Nice.
And like everybody else's parents are like, oh, that's Kids in Satan's Surface or whatever. And my dad's like, I don't know, I've heard good things about this record. And so and I was one of those people that put the little, like, you know, the, well, you probably don't know because I'm old as shit, but you could buy magazines that you could punch feet out and like line them up, and you can learn. You can learn how to do the dance. And I was way into disco, so I had all those like this. And it's the most disco album Kiss ever put out. Wow. So I was,
And Dynasty. So your father delivered you into Satan's service.
He did right away.
And now you're on this podcast. So well done.
Here I am. Then a couple years later comes Grease. I get to see Grease, and I'm sorry, but if you don't love You're the One That I Want, I will break up with you. Like, that is the entire soundtrack. Like,
do you have chills?
They're multiplying. So that's like fourth grade. Yes, we're just going to go every couple of years. I'm just going to drop a song. We're going to be here a while. Settle in.
I'm thinking about how old you say you are, and I'm trying to figure out if I was in fourth grade when Grease came out, and I'm pretty sure I was.
Was around there.
So shut up. All right.
Sixth grade, I think Heart of Glass or Tide Is High was out there, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Mom, I want this album from Blondie. Do I get that album? No, I get Eat to the Beat, the punk record that came out before it. Yeah. And I'm like,
if you want the tide is high. Yeah,
it's not there. It's not the same. But it gave me a little cred later on in life because it's like, oh yeah, I have punk records.
That's like, Dad, I love Chumbawamba. Cool. Because you hear, like, I Get Knocked Down.
Right.
And then they go out and buy, like, some, like, Chumbawamba Anarchist album from when they're getting, like, arrested for throwing paint on the Queen or something.
Oh,
yeah. They were super hardcore anarchist bands.
I don't know much about the catalog of Chumbawamba beyond Tub Thumping.
Hardcore anarchists. They got arrested for assaulting the Queen or something, and they're... Yeah,
that's awesome. Wow.
The Tub Thumping was,
so they
like...
fall down was and
them,
get back up
was
again.
Them saying, like... Fuck everyone that likes this song. The song is about you.
We're gonna make a bunch of money off you.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Well,
no, that's fine. You derail. That's fine. So then I was introduced to Van Halen in seventh grade, and it was the first record that I had my own money. I saved up my lunch money for a week to buy it from Daryl. You don't care. You're like, who the fuck is
no,
Daryl?
we all know,
like,
Daryl.
Well, see, yeah, I'm from so far out in the sticks that
Daryl
Liam,
introduced me to Van Halen too.
Daryl Liam, he stole it from his brother, and bought it.
Yep, it's the same Daryl.
Yeah. And I bought the first Van Halen record, and it changed my life because I had been, like, mostly up till that point listening to, you know, Top 40, and it's like, what is this?
Yeah.
This is awesome. It's like guitars and David Lee Roth. Holy shit. I was convinced I was going to marry David Lee Roth. I was going to graduate from high school. I was going to move to California. I was going to sing backup for him. By the way, I can't sing. And we were going to fall in love, and that would be the end of it.
Neither can David Lee Roth, so.
Oh, he can't even sing Van Halen songs.
No, that bullet.
Yeah. But Running with the Devil, like, my God, boom, boom, just, right? That was just amazing. So I had a very hardcore, long-term relationship with my David Lee Roth posters.
I had a lot of Bono posters. I'm there with you.
All over my walls.
Yeah,
and like,
they were.
Other people in my life were like listening to, you know, Metallica had an album by now. There was a lot of Judas Priest and stuff out there, a lot of AC/DC. Mm-hmm. But I was sticking with Van Halen until... Well, there was a little, I'm not going to lie, I have a dance for every song on Thriller. Not going to lie.
For every song.
Every single song.
Why would
my
you
friend
not?
Tina and I had a dance for everyone. Some of them had just slight subtle
not?
Differences. Yeah. But
did you do the zombie thing from Thriller?
I never did. No, we didn't do that. It was, oh my God, I'm not
they
even.
I had a lot of Paula dance. Abdul routines.
Oh, that's
so
okay.
I'm with you. Yeah.
It's just the time. But Michael Jackson was sort of a gateway drug to Prince.
Oh.
Because of Michael Jackson, I was watching the awards show where I saw Prince, and I was like,
oh, hello.
And who's that small drink of water?
Oh, my God. It was like, wait a minute. Let's go. My 15th birthday.
Purple little Dixie cup.
Yeah, no kidding. My mom took me to get my class ring. We went to see Purple Rain for my 15th birthday. Yeah. Then we went to the county fair. She just dropped us off, me and my girlfriend. We came home, and later that evening, I lost my virginity.
Yeah. Prince does that.
There was Whitesnake in there as well. Oh, yeah, but well.
So
was,
now we know which artist awoke both of the vaginas
at the
table.
Yeah, there
was
Whitesnake in there.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I don't believe in hell, so it's okay. Yeah. So I started getting into more Prince stuff and going deeper in the catalog and, like, really getting into Prince stuff and, like, I will talk to people that'll say, oh, I'm a Prince fan. I'm like, what's your favorite album? They're like, I kind of like Purple Rain. I'm like, done. It's okay to love Purple Rain, but if that's as deep as you go, I mean,
yeah. You're not going to have a conversation with that person.
I will have a conversation with you, but it's not going to be about Prince.
Well, right.
Is the Batman soundtrack an acceptable answer?
I love the Batman soundtrack. Cool.
Yeah. Checking the Bad Dance is okay.
I love his other work, but I'm saying that if all you know of Prince is Purple Rain, then you know, it's like learning the alphabet up to M from, you know.
A friend of ours, Duck Washington, his
I
wife.
Duff, yeah.
Okay, did you see his Batman costume?
No.
Like a couple years back, his wife made him the half Joker, half Batman Prince costume from the music video to the Prince song on that album.
Was sick.
She outer layers and inner layers of the costume, two different, you know, pieces
so
of
good.
Two different.
He did the makeup
outfits sewn together down the middle, and the makeup on his face and everything, just perfect.
Yeah.
Totally underappreciated.
I'm gonna go and like hunt down all these pictures on Facebook.
You'll find
them. Totally. Okay, so now I've kind of like been doing the Van Halen and Prince thing, like living two lives for quite a while now. I'm actually graduating high school, and I've dabbled in some Poison, a little bit of Whitesnake, but then I'm introduced.
Yeah, we know about the Whitesnake.
Yeah,
we got
the Whitesnake.
I dabbled
in Whitesnake, and I hadn't quite graduated yet when Motley Crue came along. Like I love. Don't get me wrong. Shout out the Devil. Great record. Yeah, like, great love it. But the ramp into Wild Side from the Girls record. Oh my God. That is my second favorite intro of all time. I get goosebumps thinking about it. I just love that song. And I don't care what kind of a hair metal hick I look like when I'm driving around listening to it in my car. I don't care. I will listen to it in the middle of the city.
One of the songs I cut from my list was the song like from my dad's musical taste, and it was Once Bitten, Twice Shy.
Fuck
so,
yeah. A little great.
So don't, don't worry about it. We're good.
I like imagining girls being sung by the matron from Facts of Life.
girls.
Oh, that's an interesting. That's
you're welcome.
Oh my, thank you. Yes, it's there for life. So my friend, who was a couple years older than me, moved to the big city of Cincinnati, and I still lived in Blanchester, and Blanchester,
that
folks.
Sounds like a joke.
No,
it's like almost an English city, but not quite.
No.
A really boring version of an English city.
And it's really the most boring thing in the world. But we would like, you know, hear about music, and we would, you know, have switcheroos with music. And I heard about Typo Negative, and he's like, you know, he's like, oh, here, I got something for you. 9 Inch Nails. Holy fuck. Oh my God. My life was so changed and I couldn't listen to anything else. And we would spend like lots of money on cocaine.
What? No one here has spent money on cocaine.
I waited tables, and so it was really readily available.
And it was the 80s, they just handed it out.
It was wonderful, and it was just so great.
It's
we
cocaine.
Just said that,
it's
nothing.
Great.
Nothing's better than chopping up lines, and you know, I like a hole.
Trent Reznor agrees.
True. Yeah. So I got way into 9 Inch Nails for a while, and
with you invested your new enthusiasm.
True. Yeah. And like it was so angry, and you know, Robbie then introduced me to bands like Smashing Pumpkins, and then I once again tried to get him back on the Typo Negative train, and he said, "No, I'm into something new now that you should check out."
Heroin.
Oh. Sort of. The music was inspired very much by heroin. The Afghan wigs.
Oh.
And if you've ever spoken with me.
Yeah. The Afghan wigs, that's weird.
It's, this is the first time hearing about this.
Hey, you want to know? We had to go down nine bands to get to the Afghan Wigs. But I've pretty much lived with the Afghan Wigs catalog. And if I had to pick just one song, I would pick Gentleman, because it's the first one that I really heard. And if we have to have the, like, face-off, like, Afghan Wigs fans have, you know, the whole, is it Gentleman or is it Black Love? Like, oh. Which album is better? And it's Gentleman. Don't listen to anybody else who tells you differently. It's Gentleman. And I dabbled a little more in Nine Inch Nails because, I mean, Downward Spiral and With Teeth. Like, I take that little piece when you go 3 minutes and 31 seconds into All the Love in the World.
Yeah.
And it just breaks down
Changes.
And it starts.
Oh, my God.
I loop that about four times and
so
listen to
good.
That on the way home from work. I'm
so
such
good.
A dork. I love that. And Bowie's Earthling with I'm Afraid of Americans.
Yeah. God damn it. I don't have any off.
Yeah, yeah. The closer
remix. I fucked up on the Bowie.
The closer
bad.
Remix.
Yeah.
And I should say for the record, because I feel like I should. It's like my most prized possession, beyond my children and my animals, of course, is an autographed single of the Closer
remix of Afraid of Americans
with Trent Reznor and
That's awesome.
That is like, I want that when I die, I want that to burn fucking with
well,
me.
Well, we just saved time. You just answered a question later, so we're good.
Yeah.
No, it's good. Good. No, that's great.
Sorry.
No, it's good. You'll love it. You'll be happy.
So then, again, Afghan Wigs always going to occupy, and the next three or four songs kind of move around and how I feel about them.
Afghan Wigs adjacent?
No.
Oh.
No. When I was being wooed by the other C word, I had just really started getting into this Minneapolis band, Cloud Cult. And that song, Happy Hippo. I put it on mixtapes for years. Like, I would, you know, hey, I told Craig, I apologize for the number of songs that I gave away. And he was like, it's okay. At least you introduced people to our music. I'm like, okay. Yeah. All right. I hope that's all
if
right.
Any band is going to be okay with that. It's Cloud Cult.
It truly is Cloud Cult.
Like, yeah. Fucking like six people in bed sheets and like four more people painting and one guy playing a hacky sack.
I think it's a little.
Usually someone's flying. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just have like an incense guy.
I offered to do that, but there's no room on the stage for another band member. So then the next like song that I really like glommed onto was Solid Gold's Get Over It. Like that Bodies of Water record. Yeah,
brilliant.
It's so good.
Favorite local records, really.
It's such a good record, and I really started. I followed Solid Gold around, I mean, not like around the States, but around this city, like everything that they played 2009, 2010, because they would play the opening of an envelope. I mean, it didn't matter. They were everywhere. Like, what's going on? Sure, we'll play. And they were everywhere. And now it's like, you know, hey, Zach, you guys ever going to play again? Oh, yeah, we're working on new music. How often does that happen? What, every 4 years now we might get a record?
Yep, maybe. I pester him too.
I know. It's like, what's going on at Humans Win? It's like a vortex into another world.
It
okay,
is.
I'm sorry. I will quit bitching. I lost my best friend in 2011. And I had just really started getting into Dessa's. I got into Dessa before I got into Doomtree.
Mm.
She was my gateway to Doomtree.
Sure.
And my first meeting with Dessa, actually, this fine young man to my right, Jeremy Messersmith, was in the room.
Oh.
That in studio when
I've,
she
I've just
that?
Been everywhere with you.
You
kind of
have.
Okay. Yeah.
You
studio.
Remember that.
Remember.
You guys came in for an in studio. Yep. And so I really like dug into her Badly Broken Code record, but I was listening to all the singles. I was listening to, you know, Chacon and Dixon's Wife and stuff.
Chacon.
And I was on the trip back to bury my best friend. And when the first time I heard Alibi.
Oh, nice.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
and
it song.
Just, it's like that song, I abused it for like the next 6 months. It was, I mean, it's all I listened to, and it was, I listened to that song a lot. And
I went to high school at Dessa.
She's such a good girl.
Yeah, we didn't know each other at all. She was in the Magnet, and I was not, and she was a year ahead of me. But I mean, that's how much I know Dessa is.
She's a
good
girl.
We both went to Southwest, and yeah, she was very clever, very intelligent, remarkably bright.
And of course, I love a lot of Doomtree, and I love a lot of what this city offers. But like the next like big thing that really like grabbed me was I went to my friend Mikey Max used to have these benefit shows over at Cause, and it was called Mikey Max Heals the World, and he'd get a handful of bands to come in and play. They wouldn't charge anything. All the money would go to three different community arts and youth mm-hmm. programs. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they never made more than $2,000, but they gave him the bar to do it in mm-hmm. once a year. And that's where I met this girl named Lizzo. Ah. She's with this band called The Larva Inc. And they did this song, New World Order. Now, I get a lot of free records. And they got off the stage and I walked over to the merch table. I'm like, can I buy your album? Because New World Order is it's amazing. It's about being aware of what's in your food and paying attention. And it's like, you know, it's very non-GMO and that kind of stuff. So it really like got me into what Lizzo's message was. And I've kind of been behind Lizzo's message since. And
cool.
Yeah.
She's talented. Awesome. I like her. Yeah. Music quite a bit.
This changes sometimes. The last three or four songs will move around. Awesome. But
yeah.
Yay!
Oh, wow.
It's dorky.
That's fun.
That's fantastic. I think
that's yeah. Everyone should do that. Like, go through their life and kind of make a biographical.
If you're listening and you want to post to us, what's your mixtape? We'd love to see what you guys come up with. I think it's a super interesting thing.
That's fun.
That was fun. Thank you, Barb. Are you ready for five questions?
I think so.
Yes, five questions.
Right. Five questions.
Five questions. This is the last here, and then we'll move on, and we'll take a little break afterwards. But Tim, why don't you start us off with question one.
Question number one, what's a movie that you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
Volcano.
Oh. I love that movie. When that guy melts in that lava, I'm just like, oh, I want to see it. Oh, it's okay, I can't.
I got to give you credit for just spitting that one right out. Like, I'm not going to be ashamed of this movie.
I don't have a firm grasp of what that movie is.
It is Lee Jones. And Anne Heche.
Yeah, I'm thinking Joe versus the volcano.
That's right. No, it's not that. This is just volcano.
And
this is just your senses versus the volcano.
Yeah, kind of. Okay.
It's like Armageddon or whatever. It's like a catastrophe movie.
Yeah, but
it's not the Pierce Brosnan.
No, that was Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
Not Dante.
Totally.
It's
almost
Dante's Peak.
Almost the same time, though.
Same year.
Really? The same year?
Yeah, the same year. Two volcano movies in the same year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That happened. Okay. All right. I didn't know there was a market that could support.
Hashtag blast.
Yeah. Question number two. What's your geekiest or most prized possession? And I think
we've covered that.
We did. We covered that.
That's awesome.
Awesome. As a single. But it's a maxi single.
Nice.
It is a maxi single.
Nice.
Five different remixes of
I'm a Friend of
Americans, the Closer remix. Signed by Trent Reznor, and then David Bowie signed up here.
Awesome. Question three. Which supernatural, magical, or otherwise deity do you wish were real?
You know what? I was thinking about this one, and this one's kind of hard for me. I really want it to be Wonder Woman, but I want to be Wonder Woman.
That's okay.
That's a legitimate answer.
Okay.
So you want to be Diana Prince, Queen of the Amazons,
absolutely.
With Wonder Woman's powers.
I want an invisible
awesome.
Fucking jet.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be the greatest thing.
The jet is like the least of it. I mean,
well, I want the cuffs.
Think about all the fantastic and moral applications.
A golden lasso.
A lasso that makes people tell the truth.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's a lot going on there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Show up at like some sort of elected official debate and just change the world.
How do you get your skin so orange?
That's an acceptable response. All right, question number four. Say religion was gone. If religion was gone, what would be the biggest problem that faces the world today?
I think there would still be racism.
Mm. Yeah, probably.
I think that there would still be racism, even if religion didn't come into it.
I think religion as an excuse for racism is something that, at least in the United States, we've grown out of.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be more like, God wants us separate because white, and or whatever. Like, it doesn't make any more sense.
The mark of Cain.
Yeah, it doesn't
make
any
garbage.
It doesn't make any more sense that it's not religious-based. It's just, it's not out of religion now. It's out of just ignorance or whatever. But, like, religion is the reason for a lot of, you know, like, anti-GLBT.
Right.
Sentiments, and I'm wondering when we'll get the changeover. When does it become, all right, we don't hate you because of God, we hate you because you're different. Like, when it'll, you know, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, question number five. What is your favorite quote?
People call me rude. I wish we all were nude. I wish there was no black and white. I wish there were no rules. Prince concerts.
Oh, there you go.
Which I was trying to figure out which ones were numbers and which ones were letters, but those were all just words. Yeah. So it's amazing.
I thought it was some dirty, unpublished Dr. Seuss for a minute there.
I will not eat them in a boat.
How could you tell the difference?
All right. Thank you, everybody. We have been Geeks Without God. We are here live at the Bryant Lake Bowl. Thank you all so much for listening. This is our 200th episode. Barb Abney, you have been an absolute delight.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Messersmith chiming in. Thanks for joining us. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back to the next episode. But for you out there listening on the podcast, please, by all means, rate us on Stitcher, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. And as generally said, we'll see you next Tuesday. Cunt. Yeah. Bye.
That's the other C word.
Did you say cut or cunt?
Oh, I said cunt.
Okay.
Good night.
Thanks to Melissa Kershaw for our totally sweet logo.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts on geekswithoutgod.com, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Like, if we had a button maker, you'd all have buttons tonight.
It's true.
So if you help us on Patreon, next time, buttons.